Good morning. Are you excited about that resurrection morning? We're all going to be there. Every one of us. I'm excited to hear what Scott shared. Two more men that are going to be there if they remain faithful to resurrect, to rise with the Father. That's exciting. I saw tears when Scott shared that. That's exciting. It's what we want to hear. It's good to be together again this morning. To again look in the Word, and I challenge you this morning what I have to share here. It's not something I like to talk about, but I challenge you this morning, take what the Word of God has for you this morning and leave with it today. And allow it to continue to work in your heart this week. I'm going to give you some homework right up front this morning. I normally don't do this, but I want to give you some homework this morning for this week. I'd like for you to take Romans chapter 8 and read it and process what Romans 8 has to say. So much good in Romans 8. We're not going to use that this morning. But to use some of that as I studied just I guess the Lord took me there for a while just to look at Romans 8. And I challenge you this week, take Romans 8 and allow it to minister to your heart. Allow it to minister into your life this week as you go throughout the week. That's your homework for this morning, for this week. Like for this morning, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We've been looking at the Beatitudes. I've titled my message this morning, The Rewards of Persecution. And like I said, persecution is not really something I want to talk about. If I ask you this morning, when you gave your heart to the Lord, and maybe even as you're growing, as you're continuing your walk with God, are you excited about persecution? How many hands here this morning? Are you excited about persecution? We're not, are we? I would love to skip over this. I look at the Beatitudes that we've been in here so far, and I don't have a problem with mourning for my sin. The different Beatitudes that we have here this morning. I don't have a problem with being a peacemaker. But to suffer persecution, there's a problem. Let's just be honest. There's a problem. Hopefully we have a different attitude about this by the time we're done with this message. I want to tell you a story this morning about 40 brave soldiers. Some of you might know this story. This happened back in AD about 320. There was an army of Roman soldiers, and there were 40 of these soldiers that were believers. They stood for their God. But the guy that was in control noticed that these 40 guys, these 40 soldiers, would not bow. They wouldn't be willing to, they weren't willing to burn incense to the emperor. So he met with them and he told them, he says, you guys have an opportunity to burn incense, to deny your God and stand for what the emperor wants. They said, we won't. He said, well, I'll give you another opportunity. Do this or I'm going to make it really rough for you. We're not going to bow. We will not burn incense. So he took them outside and he commanded that they be tied up to posts out in the cold. Take their clothes off. Make a whip that has little pieces of steel in it. Whip them. They whipped them until their flesh was raw. They wouldn't give. So he put them into a dungeon. A couple days later, they called in another commander from elsewhere. They brought these 40 men out from this dungeon. And he didn't know, what should I do with these men? They're not willing to give. They continue to serve their God. And as he stepped outside to talk to them, a cold wind blew and hit his cheek. And it gave him an idea. So he told the ones that he was in charge of, he said, take these 40 men down here to this pond. It was cold. And he said, put them out on the ice. Remove their clothes. We're going to see if they bow to the emperor, if they're going to stand true to their God. He looked over at the 40 men. The 40 men were undressing themselves. They were ready to go out on the ice. And away they went, out onto the ice. The commander said, there's something else I can do. So he asked those that he was in control of. He said, put tubs around this pond. Light fires under these tubs. Let's heat some water. Let's make so they have an opportunity. If they want to leave that ice, that they can come into these tubs. If you come into the tub, you'll be saved, but that's going to mean that you turned against your God. 40 brave soldiers went out on the ice, undressed, and they began to sing. They were encouraging each other. Stay true to the God that you love. Stay true to the God that you love. Nightfall came. It was cold. One of the persecutors said, "Look what I see." He said, "There is somebody above them with gold crowns." The other said, "You're nuts. You can't see anything." He said, "Yes, I do. I see something. Something's happening." All of a sudden, there was a rustle. One of the brave soldiers came over to the edge of the ice and said, "Take me in." They took him and they put him into a tub. The heat was too much. He dropped over dead. He lost out. The other 39 kept singing. The soldier who saw the gold crowns stepped out and he said, "It's going to be 40 again." He undressed and he went out on the ice with the 39. Now again we have 40 brave soldiers for Christ. The next morning they back a wagon down to the edge of the ice. They loaded 40 men into that wagon. They froze. They died because of their love for their Jesus, for their Savior. The rewards of persecution. I'd like for you to stand this morning as we read Matthew 5, verse 10, 11, and 12. I noticed this morning it was kind of quiet in here. I don't want anybody sleeping this morning because what I have to say this morning is very important. It's the Word of God. Matthew 5, verse 10. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." You may be seated. I'm going to add another verse to it from Luke chapter 6. "Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man." I like the idea. I like to think about my Christian walk, and I'm guessing you do too. I've given up so much for Christ already. I'm no longer living in the sin that I have been living in. I now live a pure life. God, why don't you just give me an easy life? Why isn't the stream of life nice and smooth? I can do so much more for you if my life is easy. Some of us know what happened in China when persecution came. The churches grew. People came to know the Lord because they were being persecuted. Persecution normally brings a cleansing. I'm not praying for persecution for America. But I was told the Chinese people were praying for persecution for America. Can we admit this morning as people here at Calvary Chapel, because of our freedom, we're not quite as hot as we should be? I admit that. We're not quite as on fire as what we should be, because we have it pretty easy. John 15:18. I want to read a couple verses there. You don't have to turn to this. I'll just read it real quick here. It says, "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world will love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world." Hear that. "But I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Here we have reason why the world doesn't like us. He chose us out. We are to be different. No, we're not to be weird. But there's a difference that happens within our hearts that shows up in who we are. "Therefore the world hateth you." Verse 20, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." He chose us out of the world. That's you. That's me. He chose us out. And we have a choice to make. Are we going to follow His choosing? Because when we are followers of Him, we're not going to be followers of the world. It's so easy for us just to come in line and walk with the world. It's like a stream with a bunch of fish in it. We like to go with the flow. It's so much easier to go with the flow. But sometimes we need to realize that we're not headed that direction. We're headed a different direction. Sometimes it's like going upstream. And people are looking at us in a weird way. Why are you going that direction? We've got a different goal. We've got a different destination. But so many are deceived. They're heading down through this stream with all the rest of the fish, thinking that they're headed the right direction. When they've been deceived, they're going the wrong direction. How many opportunities do I miss? Because I want to blend in with the world. Because I want to blend in with the rest of the fish in the stream going that direction. Opportunities that I miss. I want to look at 3 points this morning. 3 points of suffering persecutions. I'd like for you to turn to Timothy chapter 2. We're going to be looking, 2 Timothy 3. I said that wrong. 2 Timothy 3 verse 10. The first point I want to talk about in points of suffering persecutions is that all believers will face persecutions. And before we get into this, I look around us as Americans today, I look around us as Christians today, and I wonder, how in the world am I suffering persecution? I didn't hear of any of you this week being stopped because you're a believer and taken to jail. I didn't hear of any of you this week being beaten because you're a Christian. I wasn't. But he tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10, he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine." Here, Paul is talking to Timothy. Paul has just come to the place where he's telling Timothy, God has been giving me revelations, but to keep me humble, he has given me a thorn in my flesh. Then he tells Timothy, "But Timothy, you know me. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life. You know how I live. You know my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience. You know my persecutions, my afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me." God kept him. And then he says in verse 12, he says, "Yea, and all that live will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So how do we suffer persecution in America today? We're Christians. I'm not doubting that this morning. But how do we suffer persecution today as believers? Because we're not facing what these men faced on the ice. But how do we suffer? Yeah, persecution, first of all, is a dying for our faith. We think of Stephen. How he was stoned to death. And as he was being stoned, he said, "Jesus, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He says, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And then he fell asleep. That's persecution. We understand that. That's tough. That's strong. But there's another persecution that happens in our country. And by the way, we put a lot of stock in Trump, don't we? I want to be careful what I say here. But I believe God placed Trump where he's at. I believe God put him there for a purpose. But I challenge us this morning, let's not put our confidence in Trump. I believe God is giving us some awesome opportunities. But Trump is not our answer. Jesus is our answer. God may use him to direct the Christian walk a little easier. But our next president could turn this thing around. So let's be cautious. How much we lean on Trump? Let's lean on Jesus. So if another president comes in that says, no more Christians, I'm done, that we don't have to change, that we're strong and continue our walk. Another kind of persecution that we have today is being ridiculed for standing for purity, for integrity, for love of the brotherhood. Not a popular thing today anymore to stand for purity. Everybody's doing it, so why can't I? We are ridiculed for that. Challenge is this morning, stand strong. Scott talked about love of the brotherhood, about being able to allow others to come sleep in their house. They have no fear of that. People look in at some of the churches where they have love for the brotherhood and they think, wow, you're weird. What's wrong with you people? But as God's children, as God's believers, we have a love that comes from within. And they will eventually see that we love God. Scripture tells us that. By our love, they're going to see it. That we love God. Turn to Luke 16. Let's look at just a couple of verses here that tie in with suffering. Luke 16, verse 13 through 15. Here it says, no servant can serve two masters. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees here. He says, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He was talking to them here about loving their money. I want to talk this morning about the love that we have for things around us. And I'm not talking specifically about money, but material things, whatever we have around us. He says here, you can't serve two masters. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. That word derided here means to sneer outright. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination to the sight of God. Here's my challenge for this verse this morning. How do I feel when somebody does something behind my back and I find out? Do I want to get back at them? It's going to happen. They didn't hide it here from Jesus. They derided him outright. But sometimes things happen behind our backs that we don't find out right away. What is my response? My response needs to be to love and to forgive. Because should the time of persecution come, if we can't love and forgive now, are we going to love and forgive then? I hope the challenge this morning that you're catching is that our walk has to be true now. Our walk has to be true now. It's not going to change when persecution comes. It has to be true now. I have a couple of verses here in 2 Corinthians 12 I'm going to read. Verses that just really blessed me as I was studying. I'm actually going to use them two times this morning. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Actually, I think this is the verse where Paul was talking about his thorn in the flesh. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. See, when we try to walk in our own strength, we fall flat, don't we? We fall flat. But when we come and we realize that we have strength from the Father that we can tap into, we receive strength in our weakness. That's when we're strong. Persecution brings strength to the believer. The second point I look at is, like to look at is Jesus is our supreme example. Think about a couple of things that Jesus gave up. He gave up heaven for a time. He left heaven to come down for you and I. He faced temptations just like we do. He laid down his life for us and defeated Satan and his army by resurrecting from the grave. John 15:18, again, the same verse I used earlier, says, "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." The world didn't like Jesus. They were against him. Even as he came and he laid down his life, they were against him. But he has called us out of the world. I want us to think about Jesus in the garden for a minute. Luke 22, there's a couple of verses there I'd like to refer to. In verse 41, 42, and 43 says, "And he was withdrawn from them about the stone's cast," talking about being removed from the three disciples, "and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Here Jesus was praying that the Father would remove the cup of suffering. And I don't think we understand the agony that he was going through. There was a preparation being made for what was ahead. And I want us to catch something in verse 43. He says there, "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." This is what I want us to think about this verse this morning. As we walk with Christ, we are not alone. Jesus was in the garden praying. He had his Father looking down on him. He was weak. He was a man. He needed strength. So an angel came and ministered to him. Do we have that opportunity today for angels to come minister to us? We have the Holy Spirit, don't we? And as we pray, as we struggle, as we go through our difficulties in life, as we call out on God, he comes and he gives us strength to make it through our difficulties. He prayed here, and an angel came unto him, strengthening him. This was how he was able to face this persecution that was ahead of him. The difficulties in life, even though maybe they're not persecutions this morning, the difficulties in life that we have, we can also come to him and pray and ask for strength, and he gives us strength. We are not alone. Sometimes we feel like we are, but we're not alone. He's there with us to carry us, to give us the strength we need. I see it work from time to time. I see these guys come out with these energy drinks. They drink the energy drink because they need energy to finish their day. Do you guys know that Jesus gave us an energy drink? What's that energy drink that he gave us? The Spirit? The joy of the Lord. What did he tell the woman at the well? "I'm going to give you living water. You drink this, you'll never thirst again." That is energy for us today. That's our energy drink. Sorry, that may be kind of a weak way to look at it. But the energy drink that he's given us, the new birth, we tie in with him and we have strength that we can continue our walk with him. And then every day as we continue our walk, we come to him and we feed at his feet. We read the word. We pray and we gain strength to continue our everyday walk. So I ask you this morning, thinking about this, thinking about the strength that we need to walk. What if we face persecution this week? Would I stand? Maybe you can say, that's not a fair question, Lynn. Because we're not facing that kind of persecution. I don't know. But I believe we need to be sure. I believe we need to be sure in who we believe in. That the strength that we have is not our own, but the strength that we have is the Father's that he's given us. That he wants to continually supply us with. Mark 13:11 says, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, Take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not you that speak, but the Holy Ghost. All right, there's one we can take off of our worry list. When we come to the place of persecution, and they start asking us questions, maybe this is in our everyday walk today, somebody doubts us, and they begin to ask us questions, don't worry about it. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through you and speak through you. Some of you have experienced that in talking with others about the Lord. God will give us what we need at the very minute that we need it. The third one, and the final one I like to look at, is the rewards of persecution. So yeah, we thought there was a catch in here somewhere, right? Persecution is just to kill us, to take us out. No, there are rewards for persecution. I told my wife, as I continued to read and as I continued to study, I told her, it almost makes me feel like this is how I want to go. Because of the rewards that are there for persecution. Turn your Bibles back again to Matthew 5. Let's look at some of the rewards here. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, I think we need to make sure that there's a difference here. Sometimes we consider persecution something that happens to us in our life because of a dumb decision we made, and now the consequences are taking place, and we consider that's persecution. No, that's not persecution. That's a consequence that we're facing because of a decision that we made. Persecution is suffering for the sake of righteousness. For the sake of the Father, for the sake of the kingdom. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now look at the reward that he gives us. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you want the kingdom of heaven? Sure we do. We want the kingdom of heaven. One day the Pharisees asked Jesus, said, when will the kingdom of heaven come? Jesus replied, the kingdom of God, which is same as the kingdom of heaven, can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there. For the kingdom of God is already among you. Some translations say that the kingdom of God is within you. Here we have the Pharisee asking Jesus, and he didn't understand what the kingdom of God was. But he's asking Jesus about this. And I believe Jesus was telling him, the kingdom of God is among you. I'm walking here with you right now. The kingdom of God is right here. But Jesus left. But then he promised us in John 14. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. When he was speaking about that, he said he dwelleth with you. He's here with you right now. But when I leave, the Holy Spirit is going to come back and he's going to dwell within you. Have we got the Holy Spirit within us this morning? If we have, our walk is going to be different. We receive the kingdom. Another one of those rewards that we receive is his strength in our weakness. This is the verse, couple of verses I told you I'd like to use again. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. For when I am weak, then am I strong. We receive strength in our weakness. Then there's another one I want us to really pay close attention to. Turn to Romans 8. I told you we're not going to use Romans 8 this morning, but yes, we are. I forgot I had this in here. Turn to Romans 8, verse 35. Next reward that we want to look at. Verse 12 of Matthew 5 says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. The reward is great. But there's something that we have here in this life that as we face persecution that we receive because of this. Let's read in Romans 8, verse 35. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The reward that we get is the security. We are persuaded of the security that we have in Christ. Jesus said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." He's not going to leave us. He's always going to be with us as long as we walk with him. We have the opportunity to leave him. But he told us here, nothing can separate us. As we walk close with him, as we are in communion with him, there's nothing that can separate us. We're persuaded of our security in Christ. Do I know that I am secure in Christ? Revelation 6 talks a little bit about those who have been martyred, those who have been killed for the gospel. And I'll be honest with you, I don't understand this scripture totally. But I want to read to you this morning what it says here in Revelation 6 about those that have died and have gone on from persecution. Listen to what it says here in Revelation 6. It says, "When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God." I like to think about the fact that they're under the altar. They're close to the Father. They have died, but they're close to the Father. "They were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?' And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." Rest for a little bit. There's more coming. I think we need to realize this morning that we're not victims. We're victors. We're not victims this morning. We're victors. As we walk with Christ, this life that we live, sometimes we like the idea that we're victims. Because we're believers, they make fun of us. Because we're believers, they persecute us. Friends, we're not victims this morning. But we're victors through Christ. Let's walk that way. God has won the victory. We're on His team. Let's walk that way. Billy Graham shared a message, I believe it was in New York City in 1957, and he gave us five ways to fortify ourselves to stand in case of persecution. I'm going to close with these thoughts. The first way, he said, is make sure of your relationship with God. How am I living today? Is my relationship with God alive? Is it living? Is it something that I do every morning just to contact God a little bit and makes me happy so I can go on my way and I can live my life? Or is our relationship close with the Father? One of our forefathers made a comment years and years ago. He said, "There's probably not 15 minutes passed in my life since I'm a believer," I believe he said, or something close to that, "that I haven't thought about God." That was a challenge to me. How much do I think about God as I work throughout the day? My relationship with God. Number two, walk with God daily. That covers pretty well where we've already covered that. Number three is a tough one. Memorize Scripture. We've been working on 1 Corinthians 13 on Wednesday nights here. That's hard. But memorize Scripture. There was a man who was persecuted. He was in prison for a long time. And he said, "One of the things that I regret the most," he said, "I did not memorize enough Scripture that I had to feast on while I was in prison." Friends, there's a possibility that some of us may be persecuted here. We don't know. Let's memorize Scripture. And I'm saying that to myself because I'm not very good at it. But it's something we need to do. Pray always. You mean in the business of life we need to pray? You mean I have to stop and spend time with the Father? I can't just do it on the run? I'm not setting that for you here this morning, but there is a blessing in taking time, going to your closet, to your bedroom, or wherever you have that place, getting on your knees before the Father and connecting. There's a blessing in that. The last one is meditate on Christ. And I like to think about this as we've spent our time with the Father, we've connected, we've received from Him, we've got our duty for the day. And then as we go throughout the day, we meditate on Christ. And as we come back home again in the afternoon and the evening, again we get back with the Word and we continue to meditate. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. We could continue. There's so much about persecution. There's so much joy in being faithful through persecution. But I want to leave this challenge with us this morning. Unless we are alive and on fire now, should persecution come, friends, I don't know if we're going to make it. Let's urge each other on. Let's build each other up. Continue in the faith. Grow deeper with the Father. Allow your relationship to be really, really close. That's my challenge this morning. Would you stand with me this morning as we pray? God, this morning, you know our hearts. Lord, you know exactly what we need in our walk. You know where we're at with you. And your desire, Lord, is that we are true to you, that we are close to you. Your desire, Lord, is that we live lives that reflect you, that we make your name look good. God, we're weak. We admit that. We're weak and we need your strength. We need you to guide us. Of ourselves, Lord, we can't do this. We're asking, Lord, that you would allow your Holy Spirit to continue to draw us close to you. We invite him into our hearts. And Lord, we pray that our daily walk would be a light for you. The Lord, even though we face these tiny little persecutions here, we would remain strong. And Father, should the persecution of life or death come to us, Lord, that we would be strong, grounded in you, that there would be no question what we would do. Lord, guide us as a congregation, as all of us here this morning, visitors and all of us, continue to work in our hearts and our lives. We bless you, Lord. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.